Chapter 22, Bridges.
Another pet.
The cerulean power of an ancient gate shimmered at the edge of the Sea of Souls. A golden seed for a black witch, I said.
You work fast,
said the lady in blue.
What is its name?
Gorseman.
No.
She'd met its kind before and wasn't pleased. Yes, and I need your help.
I got your message. Hereticus has been warned, but I'm sorry to say the hunt for a rogue witch is underway.
Me?
You are marked. How will we know that it's still you?
I'm not me. That is the truth. But the War Master will vouch for my usefulness. Please have a banisher at the ready. I need a rite performed. She frowned.
The Inquisitor plans to skip that formality. You have fallen far.
I beg him not. Lady, one must fall for an eternity to reach your shrine. The door beside her opened.
Send the warp creature through.
I did. Rolling out from under two warm well-wishers, I crawled to an open space on the floor. I hadn't puked on myself after all. My Skola uniform stood out in the crowd, not only for its exotic pattern, but also its relative cleanliness. Both would give me away beneath the blanket of Adeptus Arbitus video sensors that filled the sector. But there was another way of tracking me that would be even more effective. I could only hope that my noble house beacon would be overlooked for the time being. I ran for the nearest lift and selected Sector 50B. Emerging in a subsector east of my mark forced me to sprint through a dimly lit maze of habs, alleys, and manufactories until I finally found the right Medicaid facility. The same two arbiters waited outside the main entrance for Samara to complete her audit. They should have appeared bored. Instead, their eyes scanned the area around them as one spoke into a comms device. Desperation will make anyone ignore the signs that might save their life. I circled around the block to the service entrance. Walking in like I was supposed to be there wouldn't overcome the Sanctionite costume, so I snagged the first low-level member of the staff I could find and asked that they escort me to the admin offices ASAP. There was a family emergency, and I needed to see Samara Kilhaven. It mostly worked, would have worked, but the arbiters had gotten the same idea, coming in from the opposite direction. I wanted it more and managed to get in the office door a few seconds ahead of them. That gave me time to spot Sam and dash into place beside her. You might say behind her, barely, but Hellguns aren't known for their pinpoint accuracy.
Peric, this is a surprise.
Samara was too smart to say any more than that. My dirty Skola uniform, missing collar, and ardent arbiter admirers stacked one upon the other, setting off all the warning bells in her head. It's exactly what you think, I said. I've come to borrow your protection. I pointed over her shoulder at my potential escort. Sam's pair were pointing back with larger things. Never come between a woman and her hired guns, I always say. I held out my hands, palms open and facing down. Sam snapped out,
Arbiters, stand down.
Her words had zero effect on their aim. Please, I said, stepping slowly to my right, away from Sam. The arbiters both fired their hotshot at best, a terribly negligent act within the confines of a Medicaid structure. Normally, the bolts would have blown through me, the wall behind me, and about six specialists, but my shield was ready for the attack. It let enough energy seep through to throw me backward in a heap behind the nearest desk. The conversion from piercing point-blank heat to kinetic energy was a function I hadn't thought of, but my shield had figured it out, and it worked. My clothes were burned in two fist-sized spots, but my skin was still relatively intact, and the bones underneath hadn't suffered any harm. I reacted in the best possible way, which is to say, not at all. I played dead while Samara screamed at the arbiters to summon an emergency Medicaid crew. They shuffled toward the door. I could hear their nonchalance as easily as I could hear the hidden smirks on their faces at Samara's hopeless request. Hellguns at five paces was always a final proposition, but they never noticed the wall behind me or its lack of gaping holes. Call your father. Tell him you're okay.
Peric?
And locked the door. I pushed out a burst of multispectral energy to stifle the video and security sensors in the confined office space. Sam inspected me, cutting open my Skola garments. She covered the side of my head in burn ointment, sprayed on a bandage, and draped me head to toe with a blanket. Sam kept the Medicaid gurney that arrived but told the attendants to leave. By extending the ruse, she was stalling for time. She'd sent an emergency message to Lord Kilhaven, and we were waiting for the response. A fine young woman, a Medicaid professional dedicated to saving lives, had seen the worst happen right before her eyes. Without any warning, she'd witnessed a sudden, unwarranted execution. That was my fault. I'd gone to her because she was the closest thing I had to family in this segment of the galaxy. I trusted her judgment and didn't want to die alone. She would make sure that word was sent on to where it belonged. I was a collarless rogue psyker with yet another active mark upon me. Number 4 still stung. Why didn't I run when I had the chance? Where would I go? How far could I get? All members of the noble houses are implanted with emergency tracking chips impervious to jamming. An arbiter of sufficient rank or any member of the Inquisition could find me when the beacon is activated. In granting me limited parole, Lord Kilhaven had bet on it. The Inquisition could play this any number of ways. They could assume that I was dead, not happening. They could accept the fact that I was alive. Never. Or they could simply make sure I was dead before I ever reached the Overhive morgue. Easy favorite. It was surprising that the Medicaid facility hadn't been evacuated and burned to the ground. Why the respite? What were they planning? I was explaining all this to Samara as our private escort showed up. The team of bodyguards and attendants from House Kilhaven had come to claim my body and escort Samara home. The fact that the head of Kilhaven security had brought me a special change of clothes straight from my Overhive closet gave us our first clue. Sam didn't wilt in the face of adversity. She got angry and fought back. I'd never seen such deftness as she cut away my ruined uniform. At any other time and place, I would have fallen in love with her on the spot. But how many hot dates could a guy have in one day? The Fibrex bodysuit and custom Duraleather jacket fit perfectly, offering expensive layers of protection. The sheen of self-repairing body armor across my chest completed the set. I handed Sam a ceramite shard from when my day was flying high. The palm-sized disc was odd for its smooth, regular shape and lack of burn marks. It seemed like a talisman, so I'd kept it with me. "My lucky charm," I whispered.
"It doesn't seem to work,"
she replied. "I was just undressed by an incredible woman. How's that not a golden moment?"
"Huh."
She grabbed my chin.
"What did you do to the side of your head?"
"I shaved with a molecular disruptor."
"That's a first for me."
"I'm sorry for this."
"For what? Ruining another boring afternoon?"
"Sure," I smiled. "Ignore the sleeping arbiters when we walk out of here." There were far more than two by this point.
"What did you do?"
"Nothing. I was getting dressed, remember? The arbiters will enjoy a nice hangover when they wake up, so my best guess is they've been drinking on duty."
"I haven't gotten any further word from my father, but let's assume everyone knows about your survival. We need to make it to the right lift bank in 00.
"No stops?"
"None."
Sam looked worried. As a noble house scion, she was taking a big risk. If they thought I was a real danger to the woman, all Feth would break loose. How could they not? "Sam, don't stand too close just in case they try again," she deflected.
"Can't you protect me?"
"On the spur of the moment, maybe. If something is planned, then no. The Inquisition tried the quick and easy way. Based on the number of sleeping arbiters, we can assume they figured out that they failed, and nothing short of your father will be able to stop them from completing the job. We had two service elevators to use, each with its potential dangers. The first ride would bring us to Ground Zero, allowing anyone a full minute to prepare an ambush for us as we got off. The second could be an ambush as we got on, and I could only hope that having Lord Kilhaven's daughter in the middle of our group stymied any of the more reckless plans. I was coming to them, and you'd think they could let me be, but as the Inquisition goes, I still had a lot to learn. We used a service elevator that was nearly full for the initial ride up. Samara had chosen a shift change hour to make our move, and nobody complained as we packed ourselves in. We flooded off in Sector 00 and turned for a brisk walk to our next lift a quarter mile away. I'd taken a quick peek ahead on our way up. The immediate area was clear of obvious trouble, and it only made me more nervous. I searched my jacket for another talisman and handed it to Sam. Pocketing my medicuffs, she offered me a look of both surprise and relief. We hadn't fooled anyone. As the doors to our next lift opened, I realized the trap. Their plan was utterly devious, disarming, and totally unfair. I froze with one foot in the snare as my eyes met those of Mercina. Across the elevator car, List and Bree Holland waited with their hands on holstered weapons. They hadn't gotten as far away as I'd hoped, but the fact they both looked well was good enough for me. When the Inquisition wants to control someone, they do it. And as traps go, it was perfectly planned. I was a dead man if I didn't get on the lift. I could feel the assassin counting down the seconds, waiting for the doors to slam shut in front of me. I wore layers of protection, yet by stepping onto the elevator, I'd be completely disarmed and vulnerable to the next weapon pointed in my direction. I'd already played the fulcrum twice today. Why not a third time or a fourth? Either way, I had connections to hold me in place at a time when my world had gone completely flat. No bridges, no high places. At the last second, Samara yanked me forward into the sturdy car, letting the doors close behind me. Mercina's bubble was missing. Her null necklace did its thing, and I felt better for it. I was as speechless as the rest.
"Nice meeting you here,"
said Banisher Kamara Stone. Appearing right beside me in ethereal form, the Ordo Malleus agent was only visible to me. "I need help." My hand was paining me more and more, and I held it up for Kamara to see. "I don't want it to come back."
"That's why I'm here."
"And Inquisitor Locke?"
"Negotiating for your existence."
"And Marsden?"
"Polishing his hellgun in hopes that you'll arrive."
"We're not going into the Overhive."
"No, but behave as if you were."
I blinked, and Kamara was gone. The lift car stopped. The doors remained closed. "Tell your mother that I'm sorry." I gently positioned Samara in the middle of her escort as they looked around expectantly. Hereticus didn't want me breathing. There was no way they would let me come in hot. I tapped my neck and made a signal to Mercina to disable her device. The dead space around us sprang into non-existence. My world stopped spinning. Turning to my left, I came face to face with Breanne Halland. I couldn't say a word. Instead, I reached carefully beneath her long leather coat and clicked off her overheated charge pack. Bree's Lay's pistols were lively enough without the extra help. I may have dragged my fingers lightly across her hip as I did it, and the small gesture was the closest I would ever come to kissing her goodbye. That she didn't mind said plenty about the woman's state of mind. She'd gone by a different name when we'd first met in the Underhive on Fulcrum 4. Boasting an inhuman quickness and an uncanny aim with her overcharged Lay's pistols, she'd been an enforcer for the Sub-Zero boss. List cleared his throat and tapped the side of his head. The eyes of those around me seemed to scream at the grotesquerie in their midst. It was Morgana's word, but it fit. I'd gone downhill fast. "There was a witch," I said. "I'm still not sure who won." The lift doors opened, forcing me to turn. A line of agents held the footbridge into the Ordo Hereticus Tower. I'd been here before and still couldn't remember my path over the edge or why I'd taken it.
"Step out, Silver."
No fething way. I'd surrendered once and been shot for the effort. Hereticus always shot first and asked questions later. I had my own angels. "Breezy, please," I whispered. This wasn't the first time that Bree had been in on a plot to kill me. The double bark of Lay's pistols hammered into my shoulder blades and the layers of body armor. Stunned and off balance, I crashed into the floor. List dove forward, pinning me in place as Mercy drew her short saber and moved to block the doorway. A second later, the punch of a Medicaid syringe pierced the back of my neck. My world went dead.